Well, today I want to speak to you. I think it comes as it's very apropos that we would speak about this subject because of it being Veterans Day weekend. I'm going to speak on character today. Character. Why don't we pray before we jump right in? Lord, thank you for the ability that we have to walk into this house. Thank you for the strength that is in our bones and in our bodies that you have blessed us with, that we could come into this place today. I pray, Father, that we would open up our hearts and our ears now to understand and to hear what you're saying to us. We never want to just come to church because it's a habit. We want to come to church, Father, because we know that in times like this, you will change us from the inside out. You will transform us from the inside out. Lord, you will help us establish our steps. Your word says that you order our steps. And so I know that today it's not a mistake that we have found ourselves in this room today. I pray your anointing to be upon me as I speak, and I pray you would anoint the ears of those that are listening. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Joy and I have a sheepskin rug that lays in our closet, our master closet. Our daughter Brianna gave it to us right after we, matter of fact, I think she gave it to us last Christmas. It's real. It was a real sheepskin. It lays there. She gave it to us right after we moved into the house. And a few months later, we got this puppy. Most of you know about her. Her name is Sailor. And we quickly found out that Sailor liked to lay on that rug. She liked to lay on it. I wasn't sure if she liked to lay on it because it was soft and fluffy like her mother, even though the only time I'd ever seen her mother was they had her cut real short. And I wasn't sure, but I came to the conclusion that the reason she liked to lay on that rug is because it is a sheepskin rug and Sailor is a sheep-a-doodle. That means that her mother was an old English sheepdog. She was bred to herd sheep. She knows something about that. But here it is. The sheepdogs are herders by nature. They're gifted to herd sheep, and actually they'll herd anything that they want to. If you start running, she will herd you into the right direction. The reason that she likes a rug is it's in her character. She likes sheep. She's never seen a sheep. She doesn't know how to spell sheep. She doesn't know how to count sheep. She's never heard the phrase black sheep. She's never seen the movie Babe. But she knows something about sheep because it's in her character. In that closet are a lot, and I mean there are a lot of shoes, as you can imagine. But do you know the ones that she goes and gets when that we leave the door open? It's the house shoes that we have in there. Joy has a pair of house shoes that have sheep's wool inside them. I have an old pair of house shoes that has sheep's wool inside them. If she's going to drag something out, it's going to be the ones with sheep's wool in them. Why? Because it's in her character. Now, there are other things that are also in her character. She sits like a sheepdog. She sits outside. As a matter of fact, we have deer like some of you have maybe in your neighborhood. And there's particularly one that I've noticed this past week that's been laying down in the neighbor's yard behind us over there. And Sailor will go outside and sit and just watch this deer. It's a buck. Sailor's not sure what it is. She's never seen the rack on one, but she's especially interested in it. But she just sits out there and stares at it. And I find it fascinating that it's just in her nature. She runs like a sheepdog. She looks like a sheepdog. She acts like a sheepdog. By all accounts, she is a sheepdog, except for one little difference. Her daddy's a poodle. Now, that'll mess you up right there because, you see, not a standard poodle, a miniature poodle. With an attitude. That makes her a miniature sheep-a-doodle. So she had the big mom, the little dad, and that made her a smaller sheep-a-doodle. Now, the poodle isn't bred the same for the same thing that the sheepdog is. The poodle was actually bred for hunting and retrieving the birds that hunters would shoot. Sailor loves to fetch. She'll fetch just about anything that we throw. When we open her crate to let her out in the morning, she'll gently carry out the two stuffed animals that we put in there every night. One of them is a rabbit. We call him Bugsy. He is now missing both of his arms. That's another story. He's kind of a paraplegic. And then we have this little dog called Mugsy that has a heartbeat. And we turn it on each night when she was a puppy so that it sounded like his mother. Don't judge us. We didn't have grandkids when we bought this dog. And so we have this dog and we treat her this way. But every morning we open up the crate and the first thing that Sailor does is gently carry those two animals out. She comes walking out with them and it looks like she's bringing out the hunt that she has found and she lays it at our feet. Here's the interesting thing about it. She doesn't know why she's doing it. She's never been taught. Nobody ever showed her. Nobody said, this would be cute. This is what you should do. It's instinct. It's just, it's in her character to do that. It's just who she is. Now, we didn't get Sailor so she could herd sheep. We didn't get her so she could herd us either. We didn't get her so she could retrieve birds that I hunt because I don't. We got her because she was hypoallergenic and because she was photogenic. Because let's face it, nobody wants an ugly dog that makes you sneeze. So that's why we got her. How now? If we wanted to train her to be a sheepdog and herd sheep, we could because it's actually in her. If we wanted to train her to be a hunting dog, we could because it's in her. Now, that's the opening. You and I are very much like Sailor. We also have a character. Our character has been established even before we were born. You see, in Genesis 1:27, it says that God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them male and female. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that we're identical to our father? Does that mean that we'll always think like our father, that we'll always make the same decisions our father would? Well, in a word, no. It doesn't mean that we're clones. It doesn't mean that we'll always act or think or look like our heavenly father. But it does mean that we're supernaturally and literally genetically designed to be more like him than unlike him. However, that doesn't guarantee that we'll always behave in the image of our Father. Why? Because you and I have some poodle in us. Some of y'all have more than others. I've seen the hair. There's a couple of y'all that are hairless cats. That's a whole nother breed there. But I digress. We all have two natures that are constantly fighting for control. I've often said that Sailor's the way she is because she doesn't know whether she's going or coming. That's the herding and the fetching sort of thing. Just like the herding and sheepdog, the sheepdog and the retrieving poodle are constantly trying to influence Sailor, you and I are constantly being pulled in opposite directions because you and I have two breeds within us. You see, you were bred in the image of your father. But sin was also introduced into our bloodline when Adam and Eve disobeyed. And ever since the Garden of Eden, humanity has struggled with two natures, right and wrong, sinfulness and holiness, character one or character two. Now, to only speak about the sin nature would be depressing. To only talk about God's nature would be remiss. So I feel that I need to talk about both of them today. And when you leave here, I want you to be encouraged because the fact is your original character came from God. A Sailor's never going to be a guard dog because it's not in her nature or character. She isn't intimidating, scary, or aggressive. She's fun-loving, happy, and playful. And those designs aren't, those characteristics aren't designed necessarily for guarding things. There are some things that aren't in your character. When you act like the world acts, it's actually considered out of character for you. It's not who you really are because it's not who you were created to be like. It's not the image that you were created in. It's not the pattern that you were made after. It's not the mold that you were shaped from. It's actually a fake. It's like buying a $10 Rolex or a $20 Louis Vuitton. It might look the same on the outside, but on the inside, you're not authentic and it's not the real deal. Some years ago, Joy and I were in New York City, and we were walking down Canal Street. Now, Canal Street is an area of New York that is known for the vendors selling knockoffs. They have knockoffs of every kind of jewelry and every kind of purse and just all kinds of things that you can imagine. I was wanting a watch that day. I didn't have a watch, and so I thought, I'm going to buy a watch. I know these are fakes, but I'm going to buy one. And so I wasn't looking for a Rolex. I was looking for something that told time that I liked the looks of. So I bought a watch that I had no idea who had manufactured it. I wasn't familiar with the brand. Turns out it was a Raymond Wheel, which is a nice watch, but I bought it because it was $10. And I was excited about my $10 purchase. I put it on. I thought, well, it doesn't look bad for $10. I'll take that. Until we got back to the hotel, and I looked, and it had stopped. Do you know what you call a $10 watch that doesn't tell time? A bracelet. Now, I didn't buy a bracelet. I wanted a watch. Some of you know where I'm going with this. Some of you have bought into the world's way of thinking. You said to yourself, I know this thing that I'm doing isn't real. I know it's not authentic. I know it's not going to last. I know it's not really true, but I'm going to try it anyway because after all, it doesn't cost much. It's not going to hurt anybody. It may bring me a little bit of happiness. Then one day you wake up and you realize that it's not even worth what you paid for it, and the price was much higher than you actually realized. Because here's the statement that I've made for years. Sin will always cost you more than you want to pay, and it'll always keep you longer than you want to stay. This is where your true character comes out. You suddenly feel ashamed, regret, remorse, anger, self-loathing, and insecure. Why? Because you tried to become somebody that you were never intended to be, somebody that you weren't created to be, and it was out of character for you. You ever heard anybody say this? That person's always at war with themselves. Here's what you need to know about that. People who are always at war with themselves have a problem in their character. It's those two dogs fighting. It's that right character and that wrong character. It's that God nature and that sin nature fighting at each other. Do you know where we get that phrase, out of character? It's in response to somebody playing a role in the theater. When they act like the person they were expected to act like, they're in character. And when they act like somebody other than who they were supposed to be, they're out of character. Some of you are old enough to remember Superman on television back in the 50s. George Reeves played the original Superman. It started out in black and white, then it went into color. Now, George Reeves was the epitome of Superman in those days, but we look back and we realize he had a terrible costume, and it was just not good. But you remember how George would always stand, when the bad guys would pull out the gun and shoot, George would stand there, and the bullets would bounce off of his chest, and he looked like Superman. But somewhere along the way, the bad guy would run out of bullets. And you know what the bad guys would do when they ran out of bullets? They would throw the gun at Superman. And you know what Superman would do? Duck. That kind of seems out of character. If Superman can, if you can't kill him with a bullet, why would he duck from the gun that's flying towards you? I mean, this is just not right. But that is exactly how Superman chose to act. It was out of character for him. When you act like someone other than who you really are, you're acting out of character. We've heard somebody say that about somebody before, haven't you? Somebody acts different than the way they've always acted, and we'll say, that's very out of character for them. Somebody gets angry and makes a scene, and we've never seen them act that way before. We'd say something like, well, that's really out of character for them. However, we know those people that get angry and make scenes all the time, and we don't say the same thing about them, do we? Because that's the character that we've come to expect. Now, when I used to hire people at the church, I would always look for three things anytime I hired somebody. And if you're in business, you will too. I look for competence, chemistry, and character. Competence, can they do the job? Chemistry, can they get along with the people that they're going to be doing the job with? And character, is there a hidden life? Is there a secret? Is there something that I need to know about that's going to derail them somewhere along the way? Jesus knew something about character when he was speaking one day to a group of unbelievers. We find it over in John, the 8th chapter. It says this, John 8, 42 through 44. Jesus told them, if God were your father, you would love me because I have come to you from God. I'm not here on my own, but he sent me. Why can't you understand what I'm saying? It's because you can't even hear me. For you are the children of your father, the devil, and you love to do the evil things he does. And then he lists some of them. He was a murderer from the beginning. He's always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. And then listen to this. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Satan has a character all his own, doesn't he? The father of lies. He just doesn't think like God thinks. He doesn't act like God acts. Here's four things I'm going to give you some information about character today that we all need to know. Number one, character is more than talk. Character's who you are when nobody's looking. Crisis doesn't necessarily make character, but it does reveal it. Proverbs, the 20th chapter, puts it like this. The character of even a child can be known by the way he acts, whether what he does is pure and right. You can look at a child and you can tell a little bit about that child. Some children are just born super inquisitive. They just seem to have a lot of energy and they're always trying to figure it out. But you can tell sometimes, and when the character of a child comes into question, it's usually because the parents have need to help mold that character and shape that character. So if a child starts acting one way and nobody helps that child, when that child becomes 5 years old, 8 years old, that character starts getting formed more and more and more. And by the time that child's a teenager and that child goes crazy, then we realize that something happened, but it usually didn't happen overnight. It came on gradually. There's a process to all of this. The question is, do you walk the talk or do you talk the talk? Because your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. I'll say that again just in case you missed it. Your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Now that does sound like it should belong in a Broadway show. But that's exactly what happens when you talk. Talk is cheap. Your character is more than talk. Number two, character is a choice. Now you said, but Pastor Steve, didn't you say that we had been designed in God's image and that we have that character? Yes, but there's another character I told you about, which is the bloodline and the very nature that came because of sin. There's a lot of things you don't get to pick. You don't get to pick in life your IQ, you don't get to pick your parents or your upbringing, but you do get to choose your character. Even though you were created in the image of God, you still have to accept that image and become like that image and be transformed into that image. Proverbs 3:31 says, "Do not envy the violent or choose any of their ways." Have you ever known people that are that way? When you hang around with the wrong people, it's possible to choose their ways, and if you're not careful, they will lead you the wrong way. Proverbs 1:28-29 says, "When they cry for help, I will not answer, for they hated knowledge and chose not to fear the Lord." They chose not to fear the Lord. The question is, will you choose the easy way or will you choose the right way? I like this statement. Adversity is the crossroads where you will choose character or compromise. You're going to choose one of them, character or compromise. Every time we choose character, we grow more in the image of Christ. Romans 5:3-4 says, "We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation." Did you see that? You need character to get hope, and your character is developed through endurance. It's like a muscle. You kind of get, the more you run, the better you are at running. Joy and I, this past Monday, went and jumped back into a routine of exercise that we had been neglecting doing for the last few months. And so Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, we could hardly walk, because we jumped right back in where we left off. And it was hard because our character that's in the lower regions seemed to not be as on board as our mind was. You need character to get your hope, and you need character, and your character is developed through endurance. That's a choice. Number three, character brings lasting success with people. Now, I'm a big proponent of lifestyle evangelism. That means you evangelize people that you know, that you've developed a relationship with. It's the kind of things that we all need. It's hard to just be an evangelist and go out into a world where you don't know people and just walk up blindly on somebody on the street and say, "Do you know Jesus? Would you like to accept him now? Would you pray this prayer with me?" And just do that. And sometimes people have success in that, but the majority of people that come to know the Lord through a relationship with somebody else. Somebody else has given them an introduction to Jesus. And it's because of that that your character is so important. People do not trust those with flawed characters. Good character will also open the door for lasting relationships with those around you. Have you ever had a friend that you liked and then something about their character came out and suddenly you realized, I don't enjoy this person like I thought I knew them. I thought they were one way, but they've been acting so out of character that now I'm realizing that that is their true character. We have to be careful with our character. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, the 22nd verse says, "Abstain from all appearance of evil." Abstain from all appearance of evil. Now, why should we abstain from even the very appearance of evil? Well, I'll tell you, so your character won't come into question. Guard your character. You have to guard your character. It's hard to get it back once you lose it. We've all seen that in times in our lives. 2 Corinthians says, Paul wrote this, he said, "We live in such a way that no one will stumble because of us and no one will find fault with our ministry." And then Luke, the 2nd chapter, it says this, "Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all people." How do you grow in stature like that with all people? Your character. How do you influence people? Guard your character. Here's what you need to know. People may disagree with your politics, your religious beliefs, the way you raise your kids or handle your money, but as long as they can trust your character, they'll respect you and listen to what you have to say. Number four, you can't rise above the limitations of your character. Have you ever seen highly talented people, skilled people, fall apart when they reach a certain level of success? The key to that phenomenon is character. Success without a good foundation of character is usually bound for failure. Fame is a major test of somebody's character. Just because you have millions of adoring fans doesn't mean that your character is intact. How many great athletes, great musicians, great actors, great bloggers, whosoever, we find out once they get in a certain limelight, they may have gone under the radar for a long time and everybody thought they were great, and then one day they have a major character flaw. Have you ever noticed that? Sometimes success brings out the character issues. That when someone is very young and they suddenly become famous, they need the right kind of people around them to help them keep their character in check. Joseph's character came out when he rejected the advances of Potiphar's wives. I like what Psalms 105 says, 105 and 19 says, "Until the time came to fulfill his dreams, the Lord tested Joseph's character." All of those things that Joseph went through, he was thrown into a pit by his brothers, and then he was sold into slavery, and he wound up in Potiphar's house, and then because he turned down her advances, she had him put in prison, and then he spends years in prison. All of this was a test of his character, because God was going to put him second in command over pretty much the entire world. How about that? That's a big deal. But God needed to test him first, and Joseph passed the test. I will tell you this, for every Joseph who succeeds, there are thousands who fail the test of character when temptation comes their way. I love the Proverbs 31 woman. It says this, "A wife of noble character who can find. She is worth far more than rubies. Your character is valuable. Your character determines who you are and who you will become. So let me wrap this up. I want to spend, as I was putting this together today, I thought, you know, we can talk about character and we can be shamed sometime into moving our character in the right way. And we can think, well, who are we really? And we're just trying to be a good person and we're trying to live life godly and we're trying to make the right decisions. But have you ever had anybody just tell you who you really are? Maybe the world is telling you who they think you are, and there's always somebody shouting in your face because of they're wanting you to become like them. But the fact is, God has already created you in His image, and the God who created you in His image wants you to know today that you are more like Him than you are not like Him. So what's He like? I'm glad you asked. I wrote down 12 things. First, God is love. Love is in your character. You have an enormous capacity to love. Number two, God is faithful. Faithfulness is in your character. You can be faithful at all times. Number three, God is trustworthy. Trustworthiness is in your character. You can be trusted. Number four, God is merciful. Mercy is in your character, and you can show mercy. God is holy. Number five, holiness is in your character. You are holy and set apart. Number six, God is righteous. Righteousness is in your character. You can live in right standing before God. You have that ability. Number seven, God is dependable. Dependability is in your character. You are always dependable. Can I get an amen? Number eight, God is slow to anger. Self-control is actually in your character. You can, let me say that again, you can control outburst of anger. Number nine, God is quick to forgive. Forgiveness is in your character. You can forgive. How about number 10? God is wonderful. Wonderfulness is in your character. You are wonderful. Number 11, God is awesome. Awesomeness is in your character. You are awesome. Number 12, God is celebratory. Celebrating is in your character. How do we celebrate? Scripture tells us that we are to rejoice, for our name is written in heaven. Can I get an amen from somebody? Hallelujah. Somebody said it best when they said, sow a thought and you reap an action. Sow an act and you reap a habit. Sow a habit and you reap a character. Sow a character and you reap a destiny. It all comes from making sure that your character is right and you'll see God do great things. See, the father of lies wants you to believe that the worst about you and about who you are. But God wants you to know that you've been created in His image. That's who you really are. And that's the character on the inside of you. It's who you are. So stop listening to the lies. Stop believing that you're less than who you are. Stop thinking that you have no control over your character and start living like all of God's greatness is already inside you. Would you bow your heads? For some of you, you've listened to the lies a long time. You've tied your identity with the character of some close relative. And you've been convinced that you're the way you are because the family that you were born into. I'm here to tell you today that your family's much bigger than you realize. And that the only relative you really need to compare yourself to is that of your heavenly Father. Because He also designed you, created you, and made you in His image. So start focusing on your original character, the one that God placed in you first. Sure, sometimes you may fail, but that doesn't make you a failure. Sometimes you may disappoint, but you're not a disappointment. I want you to know that today, God is telling you, He sent me here today to tell you that the character on the inside of you is more like God than you might imagine, because God placed it there immediately. I want you to say this with me. I want everybody to say this. Make this declaration with me today. I am who God says I am. I choose to believe what God says about me. I have the mind of Christ. I have royal blood in my veins. My character is above reproach. My life will count for good. I will let my character speak for Christ. I look like my Heavenly Father. I speak like my Heavenly Father. I think like my Heavenly Father. If you're here today and you've been allowing yourself to be influenced by the wrong character, you can change that. You can move from darkness to light today. You can start living in character instead of out of character. How do you do it? Well, it all starts with just speaking to your Father, your Heavenly Father, and telling Him you want to come home. His character of love and forgiveness will shine on you and welcome you right into His arms. That's what He's good at. All you have to do is speak to Him. You have to pray to Him. And He will be listening to you today. If you're here today and you'd say, Pastor Steve, I'd like to change my character from where I've been living to the character that God has already put in me. I want to live in the character of God. I want to live in character today. If that's you, I want you to lift your hand. I want to pray for you today. Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You can pray this prayer or something like this. Here's the beauty of prayers. God knows exactly what you need and when you need it. I'm going to pray this over you today. Father, forgive me. I have sinned. I want to come home. I want to change my character. I choose to live like You and for You today. I believe You created me for a purpose. I choose to live for that purpose. I accept Your grace and I receive salvation today. From this day forward, my character will begin to look more like You. Father, today I just speak over these men and women who are leaning in today, those who are listening to my voice today. I thank You, Lord, that we don't have to follow the sins of the world. We don't have to let our sin nature dictate who we are and who we're going to become. I thank You that You have placed within us Your character. And Lord, there's no other character that we would rather be like than You. So today, we lift our voices and we say thank You for bringing us into Your family. Thank You for allowing us to live our lives looking like You, thinking like You, being like You. And one day, Lord, we know that we will get to spend eternity with You because it's in Your character to provide for us that way. And I thank You for it. Hallelujah. I bless you today. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Why don't you stand?